Last week we spoke of the alienation and hostility that we see in our nation. We saw its ugliness manifested in yesterday's shooting in Howland. Two people are dead. I think another three people were wounded. You see, our alienation from each other is really caused by our alienation from God. But God did a mighty work when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, He reconciled us to God and to one another. To reconcile us to God and to one another means to bring us back into harmony with God and back into peace with God. And to be reconciled to one another means that He brings us back into harmony with each other and at peace with one another as well. Now the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, applies this to the alienation and hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles in his day. We read, Christ's purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. In other words, Jews and Gentiles didn't get along. Not that God ever wanted it to be this way. They were to be separate, but God never meant for it to be an animosity or anything like that. And so they were definitely not together. And so Jesus comes and He dies on the cross. And it was a shock to the Jews to find out that the Gentiles would not only be saved by the grace of God, but God was going to make them as much a part of the body of Christ as the Jews. And it was really a huge revelation to them. Sometimes I believe it's a huge revelation to us to understand that God has made all believers, whatever their race, come on, whatever their ethnic origin, no matter what language they speak, no matter what their socioeconomic status is, if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're one with you and me in the body of Christ. So this tremendous miracle that God performed through Jesus Christ, notice it says He made one new humanity, or we could say it this way, one new man, one new ethnicity. We're no longer black and white and this and that. We're all believers. We're all Christians. Come on. That's who we are now. And we need to see ourselves in that light. Now this new humanity, one new humanity, this new ethnicity in Jesus Christ, which He created in Himself, lives in a community that has existed from eternity past in the triune Godhead. We're going to review a bit from last week in the message. Let's consider the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now we know from the Word of God that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. There is only one God, but He exists as three persons. As a matter of fact, there is no way to really understand community without understanding the triunity that is part of the Godhead. You'll notice that the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father, and so on. Now, while the triunity of God is very difficult and impossible to fully understand, I fully believe it. I hope you do too. We are Trinitarian here. We believe in a triune God, three persons who exist as one God. Amen? And so this is what the Word of God teaches us. Now, every person who puts their full faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior is placed into this divine community. Now, we illustrated it last week with chairs. And so I have three chairs up here, and the reason there's no one sitting in it, because these represent the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as a visual. So the triune Godhead has existed in perfect unity from eternity past. When I got saved, when Jesus Christ showed His favor to me and saved my soul, I was placed into this community. Are you with me? So now I am part of this community with the triune Godhead. Wow. Can you say, wow? Wow. How awesome is this? that we have been placed into this divine community that has existed forever. And when you got saved, you were placed into that same community. The first and most important part of community is my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So when I was placed into the body of Christ, and when I was made a part of this wonderful community, the first thing God wants me to know and understand, He wants me to learn to value the relationship I have with Him. We're still reviewing from last week. So I want to learn to love God. I want to learn to worship Him. I want to learn to enjoy Him and be in community with Him. So then we brought in other chairs to represent the fact that everybody else who comes to know Christ as their Savior are also now made part of this community. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're part of this community. So we talked about how now God wants me, watch this, God wants me to learn to value my relationship with my wife and Ray. We talked about those two people last week, and all other believers. Watch this. I am to value the relationship I have with them the same way I value my relationship with the Trinity. That's huge. You see, when we learn to value one another the way we're supposed to, it makes a huge difference in our lives. Now, in saying that, this is all true, absolutely true, but God also wants me to understand that He is first, the first priority. What does the great commandment say? You shall, Dan Barker, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. Then Jesus said, the second is very much like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But God is the first priority, and that is what I want us to talk about this morning. First of all, let me say this. You are not living out your faith until you learn how to live in community. Let me say it again. You are not living out your faith until you learn to live in community. Ephesians 4 again says, we ought to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another. You know what that means? Put up with one another in love. This doesn't mean we excuse sin. This is talking about just the fact that we sometimes rub each other the wrong way. We're all different. We have different background, all of that. So we are to bear with one another, be patient, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So I cannot be out of community with my brothers and sisters. I'm at odds with them and think that I'm in community with God. If I'm out of community with people, then I'm out of community with Him. Now, let me explain. This doesn't mean I'm lost, because once I'm a part of this, it's a sealed deal forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? But what it means is my closeness is not here, therefore, with people. Therefore, my closeness with God has been affected as well. You cannot separate the two. That's how important it is that we learn to love one another. Now, we live redemptively in unity because we're not perfect. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have never had a fuss. They don't trash talk each other. They don't gossip. They don't ever do anything to harm their oneness. But we are not perfect. We're perfect in God's sight through Christ, but we still make mistakes and we still sin. Anybody here willing to admit you still sin? If you don't admit that, meet me after the service and we'll have a chat. Now, I've been made righteous before God through Jesus Christ, but I still have to deal with my faults and my failures every day, as you do as well. Therefore, God says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, that was last week's message. We were challenged. If you have a problem with anger and you are not reconcilable to people, then you need to get rid of that. All of these things, and all of these are sins we commit against each other. So I trust that if you weren't here, you'll listen online or get a copy of that message. Now, let me finalize our review by saying this. When these things are in our hearts, that is, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling is just loud talking, and slander is saying things about other people with the intent to hurt them, and malice is ill will. We want to hurt others. When these things are in our hearts, listen carefully, we cause alienation. We cause it. Therefore, get rid of it. So how do you do that? You repent of that sin and you ask God to forgive you. You give your heart and life to Christ, and the Holy Spirit begins to put a new heart in you and me and reconciles us to God and each other. All right, so that's our review. Now, this morning, I would like to rearrange the chairs a bit. So what I did last week is absolutely true. So what I'm about to do doesn't change that. But what I want to show you this morning is how the triune God, the Trinity, is to be at the center, the centrality of the Trinity. So I'm going to put these three chairs sort of really close together here to represent that. And then the other chairs representing me, and I'm going to, let's see, where am I going to put my, I tell you what, I'm going to put my chair so I can see you. And I'll put this one over here. So the triune Godhead, God himself, is to be the center of this community. I'm not the center of the universe. Did you know that? Guess what? Neither are you. It's not about you. It's about him. So now I and others are going to be around this way. I'm just going to use one chair to represent me for now. So the Godhead, God himself, is to be at the very center of this community. I'm going to repeat what I said just a moment ago. The first and most important part of community is my relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I must learn to value that relationship, to love and respect God. I must learn to be with him. This is the focus of today. I must learn to be with God. Now, you can be sitting right next to someone. You can be in the house with someone and not necessarily be present with them. How many of you men have had your wife say, "Did you hear what I said?" And we go, "Yeah, well, I think so." We weren't listening. I could be right in the same room with my wife and she says something and I'm not paying attention to her, so I didn't hear her. We can do that with God too. You see, we know God. He's our God. He's our Father. But are we paying attention to him? Is he the focus of our life? Am I really present with him? Does this make sense? Okay. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18. It'll be on the screen. Nevertheless, or let me say this first. What we're talking about here today is going from head to heart when it comes to God. Knowing about God, wonderful. Learning new things about God, wonderful. But there's a difference between knowing about God in the head and knowing him in your heart and experiencing him in your heart and in your spirit. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, what is this veil? Well, if you go back to verse 15 there in that passage, it talks about how the Jews, unbelieving Jews, all the time when they hear Moses read the Old Testament, there's a veil over their face. You know what that means? They don't get it. The veil represents a lack of understanding. The veil represents a blindness. The veil represents hearing but not really understanding, and there's a disconnect. All right? That's what the veil represents. Listen to the next part. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So instead of being veiled and there being a disconnect with God, and there's confusion, and I'm not sure, the Holy Spirit can bring me to a place of liberty with God where there is this total freedom. Let's keep reading. But we all with, say these two words, unveiled face. Say it again.
Unveiled face.
There you go. Beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Watch this. So an unveiled face. Watch this. When my face is unveiled, it simply means I am fully in the presence of God. I bring all of me before all of him. Just like I want to give my attention to my wife when she's speaking rather than watching the calves. That's so hard. But anyway. You with me on that one? Okay. If you want to know someone, you've got to give them your full attention. An unveiled face is only true of a Christian, but it's true only of a Christian who has taken the distractions away. I'll say more about that in a moment, but this is such a wonderful passage. When I am in the presence of God with an unveiled face and I am beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, which means it's reflective. You know why? Because God said to Moses, no man can see me and live. If God showed you his full glory, you would die. So would I. So it is a reflective glory. But it is a glory that we can behold. Come on. And we are being, what's the word? Transformed. Say it. Transformed. That's what we need. We need to be transformed. How? Into the same image. From glory, his glory, to glory in me. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, when I am in the presence of God with an unveiled face, when I'm in his presence, he changes my life. You cannot be in the presence of God with an unveiled face and not walk away out of his presence, but not be changed by this. You want to change life? Learn to be with God. Learn to practice his presence. It is by being in the presence of the Lord, then, that I am transformed to the point that I can now relate to my brothers and sisters that are going to be a part of this properly. Watch it. If my relationship with God is not intimate and life-changing, I'm going to have a hard time relating over here with my brothers and sisters. Is this making sense? That's why this is the first priority. If this is wrong, this will always be wrong. When this is right, this will be right. So God wants us to understand that this is such a wonderful blessing and priority. What does it mean? To turn to the Lord, it says. Those who turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That's what the Bible says. You can have an intimate, strong, deep relationship with God if you will turn to him. And we need to find out what that means. It does mean that you're full face before the Lord. You've given him your full attention. It means to give yourself fully to him so that when you behold the reflective glory of God, just by being in his presence, you are transformed and made more like him. The soul, listen, the soul is awakened to God when this happens. You'll worship like you've never worshiped. You'll know God as you've never known him when you turn to him. Watch this. This is what we do a lot with God. So this is God. And I come to church. Maybe I'm really enjoying him, and all of a sudden I'm walking through my life and I very rarely think about him. I very rarely talk to him. My life is so distracted. Listen, if that's the way I'm living my Christian life, I am carnal. And I am not enjoying my Christian life. I'm just enduring it. It is by my close connection with God that my life is transformed. Listen, this is where my joy comes from. This is where my core needs are met. I'm going to talk with you about that in just a minute. They're met here and only here. That's how important it is that I make my relationship with God my first priority. Let's talk about these core needs that are met. Everybody here needs to be loved. Some people don't think they want love, or they say, it don't matter to me. Oh, yes, it matters to you. It better. And we act like the tough guy sometimes or whatever, but down deep inside, we all want to be loved. Are you with me? Okay, we all need to be loved, deeply loved. God made us that way. He wired us that way. We need acceptance. You know what that means? To belong. We all want to belong and feel like we're part of something. And then we all need to be forgiven, which goes with this. And then you know what happens? I gain a sense of significance about my life, which means my life counts. I'm not a nobody. I'm a somebody now. Not because I'm such a great guy, but because my good and gracious God sent His wonderful Son to be my Savior. Now my life counts. And I learned that in this wonderful communion with God. What happens when these core needs are met in my life? I make a huge transition that is so needed. Are you listening? Don't miss this. I transition from, I must have these things from other people. Love, acceptance, forgiveness, and my sense of significance with them. I must have that. But if I already have it from God, it changes to, I want that. People who are unhappy are people who have not had these core needs met by God. And they're trying to have them met by people. It'll never work. And that's how important it is. You see, only God can meet these core needs. Only Him. We are in miserable shape when we expect people to do for us what only God can do for us. So let's keep moving through the message. Now let's talk about how to practice the presence of God. Now you'll notice on the next graphic that God is at the center and all these other people are a part of this community with Him, but He's the focus. Actually, what we should have done is made the arrows in much bigger than the arrows around, but that doesn't really matter a whole lot. If my focus is on God right, then my ability to be right with other people is healthy. When my relationship with God is growing and enriched and healthy, then I'll be more able to have a healthy, enriching relationship with other people. Okay. When my horizontal relationship with God is not strong and healthy, it is an indication that my vertical relationships will not be healthy and strong. Or flip it around. When I am having a hard time in community with people, it's a signal that I have a problem in my community with God. Mark it down. You fix your vertical relationship with God, and you will then know by His Spirit how to get along with other people. We need to understand that it is our deep connection with God that enables us to be deeply connected with other people. Now, we go in and out of each other's presence constantly. Later on today, we'll leave each other's presence. I remember what a friend used to say in ministry. He was a missionary, actually. And he said, I'm going to do something now that God will never do. I said, what's that? He says, I'm going to leave you. In other words, he was going to go home or whatever. We go in and out of each other's presence all the time. Listen, we never go out of God's presence. However, we can leave it the closeness of it, but He's always with us. As a matter of fact, get this, if you know Jesus, He lives in you. Hello. That is rather significant, to say the least. So let's talk about this. Maintaining a constant connection with God. The word is constant. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that inner core, the real me, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The New Living Translation reads this way, then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. You see, I want you to see this picture. Inside of me, watch this. Inside of me, in my heart, the Bible calls it the heart. The Bible calls it the inner man. My spirit, you see, I am a spirit that lives in an earth suit. And so are you. Are you still out there? Okay, nod your head so I can hear. Okay. So I am a spirit and I live in an earth suit, in a body. I have an inner sanctuary called my heart. And the triune Godhead lives there. Lives in my heart. That is awesome. in my inner sanctuary. This is what that prayer in Ephesians 3 is all about. In this inner sanctuary of my heart, Christ dwells. And we know the Father. I'm going to show you a verse in a second that it says the Father. That we can't separate the Trinity, and yet we do. Christ is there. I have this ability. My God, help us to see it. To love Him, to know Him so intimately. If I'll just pay attention and give Him my heart. The opportunity for deep connection and intimacy with Christ is unlimited. Listen to this. He is always fully available to you and me. You know what we're learning today is how we can make ourselves fully available to Him. He's always fully available to you. We're learning how to make ourselves fully available to Him. Praise God. Practicing His presence alone. Let's talk about this. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And what's the pronoun? We will come to him and make our home with him. Who's he talking about in context? The Father. And inferred, the Spirit. In other words, the triune Godhead will make their abode in Scripture clearly indicates then that our connection with the Lord is to be one that is constant. First of all, we must desire to be with Him. This is not going to happen if you leave here and say, well, I'm not interested in that. Then it'll never happen. But if you leave here with a heart that says, you know, I really want that, God will take you on a journey that will bless you, bless your socks off. It will just enrich your life so much. But you got to want it. Listen to what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Some of you are looking everywhere for whatever. The place you will find everything you need is in God Himself. In other words, we need more than His advice. We need more than His gifts. We need Him. First of all, I would say that the Bible is very clear about this. We should constantly dwell with Him. Listen to the verbiage of Scripture. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. The psalmist wanted to dwell with God and abide in His presence. Is that what this means? Now, in the Old Testament, this triune expression of God among His people was found where? In the temple, remember? In the Holy of Holies, you remember? One man and only one man, the priest could come in. This is the Old Testament. And God's Shekinah glory would literally, visibly come down into that room, accept the blood sacrifice on the mercy seat, and it would make a covering for the sins of the people. This was done once a year on the High Day of Atonement. David is saying, I want to dwell right here under that cloud, under that Shekinah glory. That's what he's saying. I want to abide here. I just want to move in and live there. That's what he's demonstrating and what he's expressing. In other words, what we want to do is stop running in and out of the presence of God. I need something from God. I run into His presence. Thank you, Lord. And I run out. And I may not go back for a long time. That's where all Christians are. That's why you're not happy. All these things. Whatever is bothering you, this is the solution. He is the solution. We want to lessen the period of time when, represents me, when I'm in the presence of God, closeness, and then I'm distracted and I go periods of time where I'm not even thinking about Him. And then I come back. So what we're trying to do today is lessen the time that I do this when I get out of that closeness and intimacy with God. Are you with me? That's what we're after. I want to learn how to stay right here. I want to learn to linger in His presence. I want to learn how to abide in the presence of God. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 15. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Pause. Your fruitfulness for the kingdom will exponentially grow when you learn to abide in Christ. And same for me. For without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Whoa, boy, that's quite a statement. Oh, I can do something. No, you can't do anything that pleases God without Jesus. How many of you believe this? Anybody believe this? Okay, all right. It is the word of God, is it not? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Oh, man, we could spend 3 weeks talking about this scripture right here. But I just want to say the Bible is clear. We should constantly dwell with him. Secondly, we should constantly talk with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, we try to explain that away, but that's what the Bible says. I am to pray without ceasing. Does that mean something continual or not? Talk to me. Okay. Just wondered. How about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? In all my ways, I'm going through my life, I'm constantly acknowledging him so I can make good decisions. Does that sound like a continual thing? Yes, it does. And he will direct your paths. Boy, isn't that a blessing? I can have the leadership of God. I can know his direction. He prompts me. He leads me. I mean, I can really get on a roll here and have this peace of knowing that I'm being led by the Spirit. Then in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? Wrong ways of thinking. Oh, dear God, help us. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought? Yeah. So obviously then, we're supposed to be constantly talking with God. Thirdly, we are to constantly walk with him. Just one verse here, Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Wow, there's a great promise. The more I learn to walk with the Spirit, the less I'll be giving in to temptation and sin. The more life, my life will characterize his righteousness and his holiness. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we are to constantly dwell with him, constantly talk with him, and constantly walk with him. Now, we're talking about our intimacy with God. Now, but what do I do? I can't be here all the time. I mean, alone with God. So let's expand the circle a little bit. Now, here's me, and here's my wife, and here's Ray, and here's all these other people. I guess I ran out of chairs, but we could put a lot of chairs around here. Now, how do I do this? How do I practice the presence of Christ at work? How do I practice the presence of Christ when I'm around people and so on? How do I do that? And that's what I want to talk with you about for just a moment. First of all, let me give you the scripture for this. John 17, verse 21. Then they, that would be all of us, may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in who? In us. There's that plural noun again. Us is the triune Godhead. That the world may believe that you sent me. Oh, man. How do we do this? Let me quote to you from a book called Practicing His Presence, which I've been reading. Quote from Frank Laubach. The hours of the day from dawn to bedtime are spent in the presence of others. Either this will crowd God out, or I must take him into it all. So let's talk for just a few moments about some practical suggestions about how to practice God's presence. Another quote from the book. Listen to this one. And you do have this on a sheet of paper in front of you, or you should. We shall not become like Christ until we give him more time. Can I say that again? We shall not become like Christ until we give him more time, more attention, more focused attention. Number one, ask the Lord to teach you to value your relationship with him. This is not in your notes, but write it down. Ask God to awaken your soul to him. Watch up here for just a second. I know you're writing, but Sometimes we have a lid on our soul with God. Distractions, undealt with sin, all different kinds of things. And what God wants to do is take the lid off so that now there's nothing hindering you from hearing from Him. Jesus said wonderful things, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." We can hear the voice of God constantly. That's what the Bible says. Why aren't we hearing more from God? Well, that's what we're talking about here. Finding a way. Ask God to teach you to value the relationship and to awaken your soul and your spirit to God, to lessen the time that you tend to get out of His presence. When Jesus called His disciples, the Bible says, quote, "He chose them that they might walk with Him," be with Him. And they spent almost 24/7 with Jesus for 3 years. Number two, start with your alone time with God. Now, I'm going to say something not to guilt you, but to awaken you to a truth. If you cannot learn to give God your full attention when you're alone with Him, you will certainly not learn to turn your thoughts toward Him when you're around other people. Does this make sense? I said, does this make sense? Yeah, it does. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to encourage you. We must make this a priority. We must train ourselves to do these things. Like any other helpful habit, we can learn to be disciplined in our pursuit of being with Christ. Now, you will not do well at this at first, but keep trying. Amen? Keep trying. Don't give up. Don't, "Well, it didn't work today. I'm just going to forget about it." No, just say, "Okay, Lord, I didn't do very well today. Maybe I'll do a little better tomorrow." Come on, are you with me? You know, don't give up. Thirdly, read the Bible. Read God's Word. Scripture is God's Word. It is the primary way He speaks to us. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to change us, whether we fully understand it or not. Some people read the Bible and go, I don't get it all. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay that you don't want to know it. It's okay that you didn't get it all. Maybe you got a little bit. Maybe you just got something from God. That's good. God is using His Word to change you, whether you fully realize it or not, if you're in His presence with an open heart. Thank you, Jesus. He loves us. Read your Bible. Next, have regular daily appointment with God, with the Lord. A daily appointment with the Lord. Consider making a commitment to the 1 hour a week around-the-clock prayer is another way that you could do this. When you make your appointment with God, bring your Bible and a notepad. Now, when you spend an hour in prayer with God, a lot of people say, "Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." I understand that. You don't have to be talking all the time. Spend quietness before God. Listen to some praise music. Read some scripture. Enjoy yourself. Just relax. What am I supposed to do? Just relax. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. Just be with Him. You know that if you make an effort to be with Him, He'll appreciate it. Come on. You see. But make an appointment, a daily appointment to be with God. For me, it needs to be early in the morning, because when I come home at night, older I get, I used to watch my dad. He could fall asleep just like that. I thought, "Well, what's that about?" Now I know. If you fall asleep thinking about God, He's not offended. He's not going to scold you. He knows our weaknesses. Be persistent. If every believer would shore up this aspect of their relationship with Christ, we would see revival. Because revival, you know what revival is more than anything else? It's just falling in love with Jesus again. That's all it is. One more thing. Well, actually, that's all under doing it alone. Okay, did you get those four things? Okay. Now, if you haven't done that yet, you need to just really focus on getting that straight. Now, the rest of this is for us who maybe have already got that, although we need to shore that up more. Here are some other suggestions about how to practice the presence of God. Practice turning to Christ once every minute. I got this from the book I'm reading. I've been trying to do that lately. Turn my thoughts to Him more often. Turn my thoughts to Him in a conscious way. Let me read from the book. Try to call Christ to mind at least 1 second of each minute. You do not need to forget other things nor stop your work, but invite Him to share everything you do or say or think. There are those who have experimented until they have found ways to let Him share every minute that they are awake. This practicing the presence of Christ takes all our time, yet does not take from our work. It takes Christ into our enterprises and makes them more successful. It's beautiful. Now, here's a really great thing. Are you ready for this one? All thought employs silent words and is really conversation with your inner self. Are you with me? When you're thinking, you're talking to yourself. Listen to this. Instead of talking to yourself, form the habit of talking to Christ. If you can talk to yourself constantly, then you can pause and turn your thoughts to Christ as well. I think that's just so practical. Makes a lot of sense. Here's another suggestion. Practice breath prayers. Lord, I love You. Lord, I need You. Lord, thank You for being with me all the time. Little breath prayers. I love You, Lord's a good one. You know what? God would never say, oh, you've told me that too much. Gentlemen, if you tell your wife you love her, I doubt she's going to say, oh, you tell me that too often. I need to do better. I do tell my wife I love her. I need to do it more. I love You, Lord. Moment later, Lord, I do love You. Lord, I need You. These are breath prayers. You're not praying for, and when you're driving, you're allowed to keep your eyes open, but you can talk to God when you're alone in the car, right? These things are doable. You can hum a hymn. You can think on a scripture. Next, speak to the Lord immediately after you wake up. Good morning, Lord. Now, some of us say, good Lord, it's morning. big difference. Oh, man, it's morning. Good morning, Lord. Let's make today a great day. First thing, talk to God. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn to do this. Sit on the edge of the bed. I turn my alarm off. The first thing I can do is just say something to my precious Lord God. Good morning, Lord. And then finally, end your days with thoughts about Him. Thank You, Lord, for being with me all day today. There are so many other things that we could say. But let me give you this quote from the book as well. You may not win all your minutes to Christ, or even half, but you do win a richer life. There are not losers excepting those who quit. There's an old hymn that goes like this. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine. And Father, I add this prayer. Awaken our souls to Your presence. It is such a privilege to share the Word of God with you by way of this CD. May I ask, what did the Lord say to you today? Because He's always talking to us through His Word. And I guess a more important question is, what will your response be? First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son into our world to save us. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sin. 1 John 5, 11 through 13 is such a great passage to sort of put all this together. It says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, the Bible's very clear here. He does not say he who has religion has life. It does not say he who does the best he can has life. But rather it says he who has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, has life. The biblical definition of a Christian, then, is someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and by that invitation of faith, they are born again. This is the definition of a believer, a follower of Christ. He goes on to say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise. This assurance that we can know that we, present tense, right now, possess eternal life is such a great gift from our God. So, if you've not made that all-important decision to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do it even now. Just pray and ask Him that He might come into your life, forgive your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life. Next, allow me to encourage you to take the steps to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do to grow spiritually, but just let me share three or four. First of all, read your Bible. Take a time every day to open its pages and read. This is the very Word of God, His revelation to you, and you will grow spiritually when you read the message of Scripture and take it into your heart. Along with that, number two is to spend time in prayer. Prayer is talking to God, expressing your heart to Him, asking Him questions. You can ask Him anything. This wonderful privilege of conversing with God is now your privilege because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Thirdly, be faithful to the services of the local church. Oh, it is so important to be in fellowship with other believers and to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so as you do this on a regular basis, God will help you to grow. The Holy Spirit is now in you, and He will guide you in all things. Lastly, tell others about your faith. Don't keep it to yourself. But as God gives opportunity, let others know that Jesus is now your Savior, and you have chosen to walk with Him. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you in your spiritual journey, please let me know. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.